Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Wendy James, and I'm a practitioner here along with Cindy Clay. My pronouns are she, her, and my ancestors hail from Scotland. If you are interested in receiving prayer this morning, you're welcome to talk to any practitioner that's wearing a stole. Otherwise, there's an option in the back for leaving a prayer request. There's a vessel, or online, you are welcome to request prayer. So please join me in an opening prayer. Breathing into this moment, this time, this space, this place of joy, this place of aliveness. I know this place is filled with an energy, and that energy is the energy of spirit that is the source and essence of all life. And the source and essence of all things, it is operating through me and through each and every one of us in a beautiful, beautiful way this morning, through song, through laughter, through joy. And on this day, I know that the oneness of spirit is alive and well in this room, that the life and light of spirit is everywhere present, now and always. It is beautiful. And I allow myself to come into that place where I feel it, not just in these happy times, but all times. Always connected, always supported, always alive within each and every one of us. So thank you, Spirit. Thank you, and so it is.
Yay! I put my rainbows on my eyelids today. I love having fun, and so this is one of my expressions of joy that I have. And if it's your, I'm getting a little bit of echo. I think maybe that's because I was, there we go. Yeah, a little bit better, awesome. So if this is your first Sunday with us, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. You picked a great Sunday, even though every Sunday is really a great Sunday. But today is the best Sunday ever because it's today. And so therefore, welcome. Glad you're here. One of the things that we teach in this community, this month we're talking about living from wholeness. That's my theme today. And the monthly theme is whole no matter what. The idea in our teaching is that we were born whole, perfect, and complete. And oftentimes there's a teaching out there that we have to like get to be whole, like we have to achieve something or attain something or have something in order to be whole. And our teaching says you're already whole exactly as you are, and you don't have to do anything because you already are it. It's more about remembering who you are than it is about getting anywhere. It's about embodying the beingness that's already within you instead of trying to go after something. And so if you're here for the first time, just take that as like the crown jewel of our teaching. And last Sunday we started talking about wholeness and that there's no bad parts of you, that even our parts we may judge as wrong or difficult, may be there for a reason and a purpose that is for our good, or at least sometimes our brain is trying to create a sense of safety for our good, even if it's operating in a way that's not very helpful for us. Well, this week, we're not just talking about the inside. Now we're talking about how we can affect others on the outside by being in our wholeness, by recognizing our wholeness. So I'm wondering what changes in you when you stop trying to earn your worth and you start living from the idea that you're worthy instead. Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of Centers for Spiritual Living, he put it very simply. He said, "We're seeking fragments when the whole is already at hand." We spend our lives collecting fragments. Maybe it's a promotion or a relationship, or it's a job, a house, that thing. And looking at that thing to provide the wholeness for who we are, or even showing the world that we are something. But I'm wondering, if you took off all those hats of the somethings, who would you be? If you take off the different hat, like I'm a daughter, I'm a cat mother, you know, I'm a minister, you know, I'm a homeowner. Yay! I'm, you know, all those different hats that we have, who are we without that? And can you just be in that place? I often think, or I've heard from several of my friends who have retired, it's like there's a, sometimes, not always, but sometimes there's an identity crisis, because it's like, who am I without my profession? Who am I without my job? What do I tell people when they say, what do you do? You're just like, I'm me. And is I'm me good enough? Can it be? I mean, it is. It is good enough. And so the I'm me that is good enough is the one that we're seeking to rediscover. Because if I feel like I need that thing to be good enough, then I haven't found the centered place of wholeness that I truly am already. There's a story from a Chinese philosopher, Zhuangzi, and he had a parable. His parable was about a carpenter and an assistant. And the carpenter and his assistant were walking through a town. And in the town, they saw a particular type of redwood, hold on, a serrate oak tree. And they stood in front of the serrate oak tree. And I mean, this tree was a big tree. It was, in the story, big enough to provide shade for 1,000 oxen. Yeah. I don't know what that is in everyday language now, but we'll have to make up a story about how big that is. But that's a big tree. And so the carpenter's assistant was looking at this huge tree with awe of, like, whoa, what could we do with that? And the carpenter said, ugh, crap wood. And he's like, what? And the carpenter said, yeah, that tree, if you build a boat from it, it sinks. If you build a coffin from it, it dissolves. If you build furniture from it, it falls apart. He's like, that tree is good for nothing. And they went on their way. And at nighttime, the tree came to the carpenter in a dream. And the tree said, yeah, I heard you say I'm good for nothing. And I just want you to know that all those are the trees that you say are valuable and worth something. You cut them down. They only got to live short lives. The ones that you made into boats, the ones that you made into coffin, the ones you made into furniture, you cut them down early on in their lives. And look at me in all my glory. I got to live out this long, extended, beautiful life, and I am valuable as I am. And I thought that that's an appropriate metaphor for today, because I wonder how many people are looking outside for their value. Like, that thing says I'm worth it because of this, or that person says I'm only worth it if I can do this. I'm only worthy if I can do that. And the idea is that each and every one of us are inherently worthy, even if somebody says we have no value at all. Because we're a whole. We were created from the infinite one mind, the infinite great creator, and it created itself so it could understand itself more in physical reality. It gets to have a perception of me viewing you and you viewing me, some sort of separation, and yet at the same time, we're not separate. But it created each and every one of us uniquely, like a rainbow. Every color is special. Every color is unique, and every color is part of the whole rainbow, and yet at the same time, that doesn't mean one is better than the other or more valuable than the other. It's just part of the wholeness of what it is. There's a woman named Jill Bolte Taylor. I don't know if you've heard about her, but she's a Harvard-trained neuroanatomist. And in 1996, she had a stroke. And while she had her stroke, her left hemisphere, this is my right hand, I guess my left hemisphere is operating my right hand, so working out great. Although if you're on this side, then that's, okay, anyway. She had a stroke and her left hemisphere of her brain shut down. And it was a really fascinating thing from her because here she is, she studies the brain. She studies what happens. And so she's conscious of what is not happening and conscious of what is happening. Now the left side of the brain, it controls our language. It controls our comparisons. It controls our sense of separation. Our separate identity. And when that was all shut down, she felt the expansion of being connected with all that is. She could feel the wholeness of everything, and she had an incredible sense of peace. And when she came out of that experience, she was like, that wholeness, that sense of wholeness and peace is already there. It's already there. I just have to calm down my left side of my brain in order to reconnect with whatever it is. So it's underneath it, and we've always had it. And the right side of our brain detects it and understands it and is connected to that. And the left side of our brain is the side that tries to keep us safe and tries to compare and keeps this identity separate and unique. But it's both parts of the same whole. And it's perfect and it's brilliant. So one thing I want to think about is the idea that the wholeness of who we are not only is inherent, but also creating a space where you are welcoming the wholeness of who you are. I love studying different philosophies and religions. I love the Hindu religion. And there is a new to me Lord called Ardha Narishvara. And Ardha Narishvara looks like this. It is Shakti and Shiva in one being. And so it's what we would consider the divine masculine and the divine feminine in one being. And it is perfect. It has one heart. And it is a reflection of all that is. And instead of cutting it down the middle and only focusing on one side or the other, it talks about the infinite having all of this. And we might just be seeing one side or seeing another side, but really, it's the wholeness of who we are contains all of that. The cool thing about this is that it's proof that this is not a new idea. Cultures were carving wholeness in temples long before anybody marched on anything. And even the divine in this story refused to be split down the middle for anybody's comfort. And I don't see why we would ask anything less of ourselves. See, wholeness doesn't just change how you feel about yourself in private. It changes in how you show up with everybody around you. So it's not like, oh, I'm two separate beings glued together. No, I'm part of the one being that has many facets to it. I'm part of the one. So what I love about this is that the division only appears when you draw a line down the middle. It only means that I'm focusing on this thing, or I'm focusing on that thing, or I'm cutting out this part of me because that's the part that is welcome versus the part that's not. See, that's what pride has been saying all along, is that everybody is perfect exactly as they are. In 1969, there was a big event. Some of you may know about it, some of you may not. I had to be educated about it because I wasn't born in 1969, and I will say my everyday modern education did not teach me anything about Stonewall. And in 1967, Stonewall was an uprising in a New York City gay bar where patrons fought back against a police raid because they kept raiding the bar and arresting people for their illegal acts of being gay or being drag or being whoever they wanted to be. They had a safe space and the police kept raiding, and finally they stood up to the police and they marched down the street saying that we could be who we are because we were, as Lady Gaga would say, born this way. And that original march sparked what Pride is known for today. So right now, as we speak, there is a Bellingham Pride marching down the street. And that's because those people said, I don't need to amputate half of who I am to be whole. I don't need to say only my feminine part is okay, or only my masculine part is okay, only, you know, I can't love who I am because that's not, I can't love who I love, or I can't love who I am because it's not okay. When truly, each of us knows who we truly are and who we were born to be. And we were born to be amazingly brilliant, unique aspects of the divine in all of its glory and all of the different rainbows and all of the ways that it shows up. So I'm proud to be a part of a community that says pride is about everybody. It's about our wholeness. It's about accepting who we are right from the beginning. You know, this community doesn't have, you know, the baby blessings, like when a baby's born, a lot of religious traditions say, oh, well, we have to bless the sin out of the baby. It's like, and instead we say, every baby is whole and perfect and complete exactly as it is. You were not ever born with sin. You were born with the perfection of the infinite creator, and it wanted to be you. Nobody else. It wanted to be you. And when I'm connected to the wholeness of who I am, I get the opportunity to affect other people around me. So as you, many of you know, I love heart math geek right here. And one of the things in heart math, which is a study of the heart, if you want to go to the Heart Math Institute, they have a great stuff online about all the different studies that they do. But they study the effect of the electromagnetic field of the heart, which goes out at minimum several feet in front and behind, and has much bigger field than our brains have, and how it affects other people. So for instance, when I'm tuned in and I'm grounded and I am a part of my connection to the wholeness of who I am, I'm feeling the coherence of that truth. When I'm in that state of beingness, I affect all of the people around me, and I can actually affect their energy fields in a way that it brings them into coherence to their own state of being as well. So that's really cool. But then I found out something even cooler to add on to that. There's a psychiatrist, David Hawkins. He spent decades researching what he called a map of consciousness. And he calibrated the emotional and spiritual states that people go through. From shame and fear at the bottom of the scale, moving up to the top of the scale, where you might be feeling love, peace, wholeness, connection, all of that. And his research led him to a striking claim that a single individual calibrated at a very high level of consciousness could counterbalance the negativity of thousands of people at the lower scale. So we can, in our state of connecting to our inner wholeness, which is already present, already there, we can affect thousands of people who are not experiencing that truth. So doesn't it behoove us to practice getting tuned into that truth? Now, sometimes it helps to do a little exercise to like give our bodies a tool to get ourselves into that state. So if you're available, if you can stand, if you can't stand, go to the end of your seat, and I want you to try something out. So what I want you to imagine is a time when you had to defend yourself. You're feeling very defensive. What does your body do when you feel defensive? Do you clench? Just go ahead and do it with your body. Feel that kind of defensiveness. Oh yeah, I love that. Yes, it's hard, it takes work, right? Okay, so now what I want you to do is roll your shoulders back, put your hands up, put your chin up, take in a deep breath. And feel that sense of groundedness, that sense of peace, that sense of wholeness. And just a shift in your body posture can make the difference. Go ahead and sit down. I wanted you to do that because there are several times in our lives when we're feeling off. And it could be just a shift in our own posture, opening my heart up, relaxing my shoulders, to reconnect me with the wholeness that I am. Because it's always already there. And the interesting thing is our brains, our reptile brains, we talked about that last week, our brains want to be in a state of defensiveness. Protection. It's not a bad thing, but it is if you don't get to reconnect with your wholeness. So use different activities throughout the week to reconnect with your wholeness, because when you are connected, which you already are, but when you feel it, it actually doesn't just affect you, it affects everybody around you. So imagine if this field of a couple hundred people, maybe several people online as well, go out into the world and practice being the wholeness that they were meant to be. What kind of effect would that have on this world? So my homework for you is to pick something where you have been operating from a fragment instead of the whole, and see what happens if you come to the space, that relationship, that job, that place, just being the wholeness of who you are. And then the other thing for you to do is just before you walk into a room, practice being in that state of connected groundedness and see if you bringing that wholeness can affect the room that you're going into. It's a powerful act of courage to be the person you came here to be. And I know it's worth it. I'm grateful to be in a community where I'm welcomed and appreciated and loved exactly for who I am as a same gender loving woman. And I know that whoever you are and however you show up, that you are whole, perfect, and complete exactly as you are. So remember to ask yourself this, knowing that your worth is not a fragment, that you don't have to earn it. Ask yourself, where am I trying to earn what was never conditioned to begin with? The second thing is to remember that wholeness changes everything when you bring it into relationship, because you are a measurable field that can even regulate others around you. So ask yourself, am I being present to that field? And when I am, may I be an effect of good in the world? And the third thing is to ask yourself, where am I splitting myself into two? Where am I denying an aspect of me? And can I bring the wholeness of who I am into the world to be a place that is totally welcomed, loved, and appreciated by me? Because that's how the divine created us, and that's who we were meant to be. So blessed be, happy pride, and let's pray. I'm so grateful to know that there are such great researchers that are fascinated with the powerful effects that our body has on others, that our consciousness has on others, and that there are people in the world who understand what Ernest Holmes already taught, that wholeness is here, wholeness is at hand, wholeness is who we are, who we came here to be. I don't need my hat, my title, I don't need my place in the world to know that my place in the world, just being, is of perfect value, that who I am is sacred and holy, that I am made in the image and the likeness of the infinite one that has many faces and many names, and yet it is still the one. I'm so grateful to know that I am part of this great divine expression, and so now I know that when I go forth, I see the divine in everyone I meet. I stand in the truth of my wholeness. I know that it radiates outward, that it lifts up others, that it reminds people of who they truly are, so that we get to see the glory that this planet, that this life was meant to be. I claim that beauty. I claim that rainbow of multiplicity that shows up in all of its glory, knowing that it is in me, in you, in we, in all of us together. For that, I'm deeply grateful, and so it is. Thank you.